Now, what different models are there of basic therapy are used to help a family member that has schizophrenia?
Okay, there are different ways of helping somebody who has been diagnosed. Number one is that the person who has been given the diagnosis, in order to find out that exactly what kind of treatment, pharmacological treatment will be best, or what is their behavior, or what is the most distressing symptom for them, they have to be hospitalized, and the psychiatrist is involved, and the whole team, in which there is a community nurse and social worker, and all of them, at least in NHS, that they are involved. And that's when the illness is in its acute phase, which we call as a psychotic episode. Once the psychotic episode starts towards recovery, once the psychotropic drugs start working, usually they take from 5 to 6 weeks to start working, and the initial response of that is that the anxiety of that person starts coming down, and they find that the drugs are helping them to relax more and sleep better. So these overall changes help them to settle down a bit more, rather than all the time being anxious and frustrated. But as far as the hallucinations and delusions and the paranoia is concerned, at least 4 to 5 weeks of medication helps. So that's the beginning of the treatment. But in addition to that, family therapy, cognitive behavior therapy, bereavement therapy, and drug compliance therapy, as well as self-help groups, are different kinds of support systems that are available. In cognitive behavior therapy, that's usually given to the individual, and in that, the clinician will address the core beliefs and the thoughts of that person, and will help them to gain some kind of a coping strategy, as well as how to gain maximum function and how to be more active as an individual as well as in the society. So that's how cognitive behavior therapy will help them. And because schizophrenia is an illness and a disorder which is chronic, so how can that means that there have been lots of losses in the life of a person, not losses regarding their career, but their education, their relationships, and loss of being not anymore well, and not as much functional as they were before. So in order to address all these losses, bereavement counseling is also very helpful. And then it's not easy to accept taking medication, a medication which has got, though it's very useful, but it has got its own side effects. And then media and the stigma around also does not help in for a patient to be very compliant or show concordance with the treatment. In those aspects, the bit of therapy which we call compliance therapy, that could be very useful, in which the patient is encouraged to take medication on the regular intervals, or they are requested to be more reflective on, or their family support system asks reflective questions in order for them to think about what could be the advantages or what are the losses if medication is taken or is not taken. And also, as far as the dose of the medication is concerned, how much or if a single dose can be helpful. And at times where there is too much resistance towards taking of medication, a single depot in the form of an injection can be given in between 2 to 3 weeks. These are the different forms. And in addition to all these, now because if we think of olden times when there were institutions, so psychiatric institutions, and they were usually full self-fulfilling villages of their own. They had their life of their own. They will be like, they will have shops in them, laundrettes in them, all quite self-fulfilling fulfilling kind of a village for all the patients who have been diagnosed with schizophrenia. They were hospitalized, and some of them would live there for all of their life. But in 1950s, in 1960s, in fact, the deinstitutionalization movement happened, and that was a time when it was thought that in order to reduce the stigma as well as to give maximum support, the best thing is to move the patients from the institutions into the community. And that was the time, at the same time, it was the birth of family therapy as well, which I am. I'm a family therapist. And in fact, family therapy's birth is quite closely linked with how to support the community and the carers in once the patient goes from hospital into the community. So family therapy has been very effective, especially in the prevention of the relapse.
Right. So basically what I got was it's very vital that, you know, they get that therapy, they get that medication, hospitalization, and so on to continue. I mean, we can't, it won't go away completely, this disorder. So they do have to continue this therapy. But like they're getting their therapy and they are getting the medicine, and they can simultaneously live within society and continue to get that important therapy that or medication to go on. So now it's time for From Here and There, so stay tuned. So we'll have with that Mr. Goldzada. Back to the program. It's now time for From Here and There from my colleague Mahdi Babagolzadeh. As usual, he has many interesting articles or interesting revelations, little news pieces for us, and so we'll shift our attention to Mr. Golzadeh and see what he has for us today.
Thanks, Mrs. Akhju.
You're very welcome.
Well, hello dear viewers, and welcome to this part of the program From Here and There. Well, from now on, I will find two articles for you, sometimes news, sometimes good information, and I will also mention a site at the end. Well, the first one, around 7,000 senior Iranian citizens gathered in Velayat Park, located in the south of the capital city of Tehran, to pay tribute to the long-lasting health. A mass of about 7,000 senior citizens from across the capital city gathered and explained the difference or different daily exercise routines to make sure they have a clean state of health. The senior participants of the event also stressed on the health benefits and importance of both exercising and health checkups to vitality and great health. Many of the participants in the event say they drink large amounts of water to replenish their body and also do routine exercises in parks such as walking, stretching and jogging to reclaim their health and to maintain their cardiovascular exercise and a long-lasting healthy heart as well. Well, I think this part, this article is quite important. Well, the researchers say cancer patients are at a higher risk of heart attack and suicide in the days and weeks after hearing about that diagnosis. Scientists who reviewed the 15-year data of more than 6 million people discovered that suicide risk was more than 12 times higher for patients with cancer during the first week after diagnosis and about 5 times higher during the first 3 months. The rates of death caused by cardiovascular problems, particularly heart attack, were just over 5 times greater in the week after cancer diagnosis and 3 times higher in the first month. The risks were even higher for patients who learned that they had hard-to-treat cancer or more deadly tumors. The findings highlight that cancer diagnosis is extremely stressful, and it's important to address the psychological and psychosocial needs of patients and their families when a diagnosis is made. Well, Well, as usual, I'm supposed to find a site to introduce. Well, the first one, interesting one I found was Tibyan. First of all, the site has many different categories and articles on Quranic sciences, Quranic knowledge, Mahdism, like the special specification of Imam Mahdi, Hadith, Islamic morals, and many more. And what's good is not just about religion. It also has articles on Iran, art and culture, the Muslim family, health and nutrition, photo gallery on many different things, and many more. What's good is that it's in 7 different languages, like French, Arabic, Turkish, and obviously Persian, and also English. So I would recommend Tibyan for the people who are looking for religious information and also news, and who would also like to explore other things, from articles about Iran, the architecture, the tradition, the customs, and also to how you should treat your spouse. Well, the address is www.tebyan.net. It's TEBYAN.net. Well, that's it from me. I hope you enjoyed this part of the program from here and there. As usual, you can visit us at sahatv.tv. You could also email us at purehome@sahatv.ir. Or call us directly on 0098-2122-162887 or 0098-2122-162854. Thank you for watching. Back to you, Mrs. Hakchu.
Thank you very much. Well, as usual, very interesting.
You're
thanks.
Welcome.
You don't want to go away, because up next we do have a phone conversation with a convert to Islam. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the program. So on the phone, we have Daniel Oliver, who is now known as Daniel Abdullah, and his pen name is Al-Bahiri. So he's a convert to Islam. Daniel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you? Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Welcome to our program. And so first of all, Daniel, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then a little bit about your book of poems, Purified Pages, and a little bit maybe about your journey?
Okay, sure. About myself, as you mentioned earlier, I am a convert to Islam, alhamdulillah. And I've lived in a lot of different parts of the world. I currently live in Saudi Arabia. I'm from Texas, and I have also lived in Australia, Oman, and visited places like Thailand and Europe. So that kind of leads directly into my book, because it's a reflection of, you know, the different aspects of myself, as well as the variety of, you know, people that I have observed and lifestyles that I have observed. And I think that my poems give voice to all of that, give voice to those people, give voice to those, you know, different lifestyles, and also give voice to, you know, me, my own emotions and thoughts. And so that's what I try to do. So I think that there's something that everyone will find that they can relate to in that book. And I have noticed that a lot of people have found it's almost as if, you know, the words were taken from their mouth and written on paper. So I think it has, you know, a lot of, you know, value to help people transcend the experiences and understand themselves and understand people different than themselves.
Right. So a little bit about your pen name, Al-Qahiri. What's that about?
Well, actually, Qahara is kind of an Arabic root, which means to dominate. And actually, I was trying to find something that meant indomitable, meaning, you know, the indomitable spirit, and the, you know, this Islam that we have is something that's indomitable. I mean, it hasn't been changed, it hasn't been altered. And so I couldn't exactly find a corresponding Arabic, you know, single word for that, so I chose Al-Qahiri as the sort of closest in meaning to this idea that I was trying to express with my pen name.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. All right, now, Daniel, would you like to read us one of your poems? Maybe one of your favorites?
Sure. I'll read a poem.